It's a joy and privilege to be here with you this morning to worship our Lord and Savior who died for us on the cross. We were dead in our sin trespasses, and he made alive through his cross and through his precious blood. There's no words to explain this glorious grace in the gospel. And so it's my privilege to be with you this morning and share his grace with you, what he has done in my life and how he used me in a mighty way, and also how I just, like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, he said to Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." And so I want to share with you the testimony about him, not me. Because also John the Baptist, in John 3:30, he says, "He must increase, I must decrease." So this morning, it's not all about me. It's all about him. It's all about him. And I want to share with you how, I want to share his testimony, not my testimony. Sometimes our testimony is man-centered. Sometimes we share our testimonies. It's all about what I did and what I've done. And we so take Jesus so lightly in our testimonies. I think because we take sin so lightly. And so I want to share with you that I was a sinner. I was dead in my sin trespasses. And in Christ I made alive. And so he gets the credit and he gets the glory and I get the joy. And so, like I said, this is his testimony. This is not my testimony. I'm from Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is the number 9th largest country in the world. And I'm not from Mexico. Even I look like Mexican. Every time I go to a Mexican restaurant, they speak Spanish to me. And I don't have any idea what they're saying, so I respond in Russian. And they get confused, I get confused, that's how we stop our conversation. So if this morning you want to talk Spanish with me, sorry, it's not going to work. I'm going to respond to you in Russian. I'm talking about the Russian language, not the Russian when you run kind of Russian. Not that Russian, the language. I hope you got it, right? And so I speak Kazakh, I speak Russian, and I speak a little bit English, but I don't speak Spanish. And so so Kazakhstan, it's a Muslim country. It's a 63% Muslims and 43% Russian Orthodox Christianity and less than 2% newborn Christians. This is my biological parents, when they gave birth to me, they left me in a hospital and they left. And so the Kazakhstan government, they came, they picked me up and they put me in an orphanage. So I was orphaned for 16 years. And we have three types of orphanages. We have a baby orphanage. We have one you, I call middle. And then from middle, we have like a high school. So when you turn 3 through 7, that's the middle one. And from 7 through 16. And so compared to American orphanages, it's like, I don't know, it's like really nice place. I visit some American orphanages, like, wow, it doesn't look like orphanage, you know. But in Kazakhstan, it's really different. It's really poor. There is not a lot of food to eat. There's not a lot of clothes to wear. And you become a criminal. You become really bad. You become a professional thief. You become you're doing all kind of wicked things. It's because you got so used to, because a lot of people passing this tradition to the young kids. And so I experienced all those things when I was young. And so when I was in the middle orphanage, there was a teacher came to me and she told me that I have to be a Muslim because I born in a Muslim country. But I didn't know there was a joke. If you born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. And so they told me that I born in a Muslim country. I have to be Muslim. So I start practicing Islam. I start going to mosque every Friday. I start praying 5 times a day and just trying to please Allah by my good works. But same time, I was slave to sin. Jesus says in John 8, if you do sin, you are a slave to it. So I was a slave to it. Like David says in Psalm 51, verse 3, my sins and transgressions ever before me. They were here all the time. And I didn't know what to do with it. I thought maybe good works will help. So I started doing good works, trying to cover the sin that I was doing, that I was living for. I was worshiping sin. Sin was idolatry and all kind of this world offered to me. I was just slave to it. But I didn't know what to do. And good works didn't help. I tried my best to cover those sins and to be justified before Allah. But it didn't work. I was struggling. I was not struggling. Like I was a slave to it and just loving it. I would just love it with my secret and with my friends. And so there's one kid from different orphanage. We have like maybe 20 orphanages. And in one orphanage, we have like 500 kids. And so we have a good behaving orphanages and we have a bad behaving orphanages. Guess what? I was in a bad behaving orphanage. And so in the good behaving orphanage, there was a kid. He became a Christian through local Christians. And he had a desire to preach the gospel to the kids. And so he started preaching the gospel to the kids in that orphanage. And teachers, they didn't like that. They told him, you need to stop preaching. But he said, I can't. I love this message. And they didn't like that. And they kicked him out from that orphanage because he was not obeying. And they sent him to my orphanage. I just love the sovereignty of God. They're sending his people to the worst places. And so he came to my orphanage and he started preaching. And we as Muslims, we hate it. We hated everything he said. We hated the word Jesus. We hated the word the cross. We hated the word that he is God. It was offensive to us. So our response was, let's make fun of him. Let's persecute him and let's beat him for it. So that's what we did as Muslims. And we started make fun of him and we start persecuting him. But it's really interesting that he responded really well. He didn't fight back. He didn't curse us. That really got me. I was like, why are you so different? And so one time we asked him if he want to come join us to, there's an opportunity to steal food. And I go, let's come with us and get some food. And he said, I can't do it, Dad. And so he quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passed away, behold, the new become. I'm a new creation. I can do what you do. I'm not slave to your sin. It doesn't please my Lord if I do that. That really got me. And I was like, okay, share with me this Jesus that changed your life. And he started sharing the gospel with me. He said that Jesus is a creator based on Colossians 1:16. Everything was created by him and for him. And so in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they sinned. And because of Adam, the sin spreaded like disease to all generations. And everyone who conceived conceived in sin. And everyone is a sinner. Because Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no way I can enjoy and see glory of God because I'm blind in my sin. I fall short, everyone. And he said that I was a slave to sin and I'm dead in my sins. And then God so loved us so much that he sent his beloved son. And Jesus left everything in heaven and came down, became one of us, lived perfect life, never sinned. Even he was tempted, Hebrews says, but never sinned. And he went to the cross. He went to the cross to take the wrath of God upon himself, the sins of this world upon himself. One of my favorite verses in Bible, it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had knew no sin to be a sin for us, so that in him we become the righteousness of God. Think about that, that Jesus, sinless, took the punishment. So we who repent from their sins and trust in him alone will have received the righteousness of Christ. The only way I can be justified is by Christ's righteousness, by covered by Christ's righteousness, not by my works. And so Jesus was hanging on a cross and tasting the wrath of God. And for my sake, I supposed to take that because I was a sinner. I was a rebel. I was spitting in God's face with my sins. And he took for me. And I praise him. I praise God the Father that Jesus didn't stay on the cross. On the third day, he rose again for my justification. He rose again. If I go to the Muhammad's grave, I see his body there. If I go to Buddha's grave, I see his body there. If I go to Joseph Smith's grave, I see his body there. But if I go to Christ's grave, he's not there, because he is risen from the dead. What a glorious thing. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father and ruling sovereignly over everything. And he said in Matthew 28, he have all authority in heaven and on earth. So go and make disciples. So when I heard this glorious gospel, do you know what my response was? That's the foolish thing I ever heard. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8 says, the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but for us who've been saved, it's the power of God. I was like, how can God come and die? That doesn't make sense to the Muslim. Because I'm blind. I can't see the mysteries and the amazing thing, because I'm blind, because I don't have a Holy Spirit yet. That's why. You know, the gospel is a stumbling block for the Jew and offensive, foolish to the Gentiles. Because it doesn't make sense. Because there's no Holy Spirit in me. And there are local Christians who shared the gospel with this boy. They heard that they kicked him out from that good behaving orphanage to my orphanage. And they start coming and they start preaching. I just don't understand this. Because they believe the faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. And they start preaching over and over. And finally, Holy Spirit start working in my heart. And finally, open my eyes and open my heart to the glorious thing that I was blind to. First of all, I realized my condition before holy God. Think about that God is so holy. In Isaiah 6, angels, seraphims, they call him three times holy, holy. Not just holy or holy, holy. He's holy, holy, holy. He's not love, love, love or wrath, wrath, wrath. He's holy. Three times, and see this holiness and my condition, my sinfulness before him. There's no way I can be justified. There's no way I can be with him. All my righteous deeds, Isaiah says, is like filter rags to him. It doesn't matter how good I will perform, I will not be justified unless he draws me to himself and humbled me. You know, Jesus says in Luke 20, this parable, he says, I'm a cornerstone. If and I'm the rock. And everyone who fails on this rock will be broken in pieces. If they don't, this rock will fall on them and crush them. I think that means that we must come to Jesus with humility. We must fall on him and broken in pieces. Not coming to him with the pride, oh, look at me, how good I am. Look what I've done. If I don't do that, this rock will crush me. The wrath of God. And so, and the only way I can do that by God's grace. And he did humble me. And I saw my sinfulness. I repented. I changed my mind. I turned away from my wicked ways. And I turned away from my righteous ways, self-righteousness. And I started running to Jesus alone. And he changed my life radically. I love to be a Christian. I love to be born again. It's all by God's grace. And I have a passion to other people know him because what he has done for me. I'm still in this day, my mind is just gets crazy when I think about the cross of Christ. It's so precious to me, this ugly and beautiful cross. I remember when I heard this gospel and I looking in the cross and seeing why Paul was boasting in Galatians 6:14. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he saw something beauty in there. And so I saw that and I repented. And I believed in my Savior and Lord who saved me from the wrath to come, who saved me from the slavery of sin, and he redeemed me from it. And now I'm in love with this glorious gospel, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not. So when I became a believer, local Christians, they gave me a Bible. And they gave me a Russian Bible. I couldn't read Bible publicly because I was surrounded by Muslims and I was surrounded by people who hate Jesus. So what I had to do, I had to get up every midnight and go into the bathroom and read my Bible there. And I believe the bathroom is the best place to read your Bible. I'm still doing it. It's like an addiction, you know? It's like a habit. And I realized that God's word, it's awesome. It's not boring. You know, if you think that God's word is boring, because you're not paying attention. It's all about Jesus. In Old Testament, Jesus Christ concealed, and New Testament, Jesus Christ revealed. You know, can you imagine if you're a criminal and you're in a court and you deserve to go, because of your crime, you deserve to go to the prison for all your life. And someone comes in and says, someone enters to the court and says, I want to take your place because I love you, even if you don't know me. And so he goes to prison for you. So what's your response? Oh, thanks and leave. Or you respond, I want to get to know the person who just took my place. And you go online and you search the web to find about this person. You read every article, you go on Facebook, wherever, you find him and just stalk him, you know. And then you go to the prison and visit him because you're so amazed what he has done for you. So same way with the Bible. You were shocked and you amazed by this glorious gospel that Christ took your place. And you respond with, oh yeah, thanks, and do whatever you want. Or you're like, I want to know this person who just took my place on the cross. And you're going to go to read his word and get to know him. Bible, it's not boring. It's amazing. It helps you to fight sin, helps you to kill it. You know, Ephesians 6 says that the word is, God's word is a sword. You know, you chop the head of the sin, you know. I was meditating last week on Psalm 84, verse 10. When Psalmist says, it's really interesting to me, I never thought about it. When he says, for one day, it's better. For one day in your court, it's better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I started thinking about what he meant by 1,000 elsewhere. So, and I started thinking, oh, I've been like really nice places, like Great Canyon. Like in my country, we have beautiful mountains. We call it a general revelation. And most of us, when we go to those places, we just stop there and we're like, wow. But think about it. If you in the presence of God, the self-revelation. And how I realized that Psalm says, I would rather spend one day in your word, in your presence, than 1,000 elsewhere. It doesn't matter how beautiful mountains are. It doesn't matter how beautiful Great Canyon is. I don't care. I get satisfied in your word, in your presence. It's better than 1,000 elsewhere. Think about that. And we take this. In America, we have so much Bibles. And we take for granted. We put in a shelf and let it dust it. But other countries, they want God's word. And they don't have the full 66 books. And they want it. We have good resources, like theological resources. And we take that for granted to learn about Jesus. So I encourage and challenge you, love God's word. And I promise you, it will help you to grow and fight sin, memorize and meditate day and night. It's so precious. David says, the God's word is so precious to my taste. It's a taster than honey. So good. And so when I became a believer, my spirit wants to know this Jesus. So when I started reading the Bible, I realized I have to reconcile with that boy that was persecuting and make fun of it. It was tough. It was tough to come and ask for forgiveness. By God's grace, I did it, and we became good friends. And we had one goal, to share the gospel with our classmates. Because we start memorizing Romans 1:16, when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So we had this goal, and we start preaching to our classmates. It was tough. It was tough. They persecuted us. They make fun of us. But we were patient with them. And God was patient with them. And when we all graduated from orphanage, everyone became a believer. It's all by God's grace. It's not us, how we just preached it. You know, we just sown the seed and God gave the growth. Because we want to be faithful to this gospel. We're blessed and amazed by this gospel. And so we don't want to be ashamed of it. And so when I was 12, I met this American missionaries who came to my country to just plant church and share the gospel and preach the word. And so they came to my orphanage and they started, I used to hate people. Then when you become a believer, you start loving people. And so I saw this American couple. No one came to talk to them. So I went to them and started talking to them, got to know them. And so I became a really good friend with their kids. And then one time they asked me to go to their home for a summer. So I spent whole summer with them instead of going to the orphan camp. And so in the end of the summer, when I have to go back to orphanage for school, we were sitting in the living room and they asked me if they want to adopt me. And so I was like, of course, I would love to be adopted. And so I got adopted by them and took when I turned 16, I was adopted. So I just love my mom and dad. For 16 years, I never had mom and dad. But now I do, and I'm so thankful. And I don't take them for granted. I see in America a lot of young people, they take their parents for granted. They're not thankful that they have mom and dad. They're not thankful that they have a roof under them and a bed to sleep and food to eat. They grumble and complain. I don't understand that. And so I encourage your kids to love your mom and dad and be thankful that you do have mom and dad, that you now were orphaned for 16 years. So give them a hug today and kiss them and tell them that I love you. Thank you for being mom and dad. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. That's the amazing thing. I didn't have that. You know, can you imagine you're 16 years old and your mom comes and prays for you? It's a little look awkward, but I don't care. But they're praying for me and they tell me about Jesus. And I love it. And so, so kids, don't take that for granted. Love them. So my parents right now went back to Kazakhstan. They've been there for 17 years. And they still love it. And I just love how they love Jesus, mission-minded, gospel-centered people. And by God's grace, Lord willing, when I graduate from Boyce, I'm going to go and join them. And I'm going to be a church planter and preach the Bible to my people. So when I turned 13, local Christians, they came and they brought Operation Christmas Child to my orphanage. In my orphanage, you only receive one candy, but you have to earn it. They would tell me, the teachers will tell me, if you want this one candy, you have to go and clean your entire room. So that's what I did for one candy. I went and cleaned my room. When Operation Christmas Child came, they told me, you don't have to clean anything. We're going to give you a bunch of candies for free. Because they knew that, you know, religion, it's all about what you do for God. But gospel and Christianity, it's all about what God does for you. You don't have to do and perform to get something. He freely giving. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so, and they start, they preaching gospel. We got all together and they start preaching the gospel. And they had a verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so they said, we're going to demonstrate that through shoeboxes. There's nothing special in those boxes, but we do it as a door opener for you. And so they start giving those shoeboxes. I personally like small shoeboxes, you know, just be humble. And some kids like big shoeboxes. They're like, I'm going to get that big one. It's like, okay, you might get a pillow, who knows. But I might get cool things. And so they start giving those shoeboxes. My friend's like, I want that big one. And so he got his big one. When he opened, do you know what he said? The pillow. I was like, ah, I told you. He's like, ooh. But he was excited to get that pillow. But then my turn. Then I got my small shoebox. You know, when you receive your first gift, I was like 13 when I received that gift. And I mean, after the Jesus is the greatest gift. I received the second good gift, not the greatest, but good. And so, you know, you get crazy when you receive your gift, right? If you're trying to open carefully and you're trying to be emotional, you're not normal. Don't do that. Be crazy, right? Be excited. So that's what I was doing. So I start ripping everything. And when I opened my shoebox, my eyes like, boom, like, whoa. The first thing I saw, the toothpaste. Big toothpaste. It says Crest. I thought it says Christ. And I was like, oh, Christian toothpaste. And so I start running around the orphanage. I have a Christian toothpaste. Christ. And someone challenged me. It's not a Christ. It's a Crest. I didn't know English, so it's spelled, I thought, the same. You know, and so I was like, oh, man. But I didn't stop there. And that toothpaste, I saw a bunch of cool things. Like, you know, the Crest, they have like a red, blue, and white. And I was like, oh, what is that? Let me try this. So I thought, I picked it from the box, the toothbrush, and I put it in toothpaste and toothbrush. I started brushing it. I was like, oh, I have a birthday party in my mouth. It was taste good. American toothpaste tastes good. You can eat that. So I was celebrating my 13-year-old birthday. just, you know, keep going, you know, and it was that huge and then became this small in one day. And then I saw a bunch of pencils. In orphanage, you only get like one pencil for semester. If you run out of your pencil, you have to get it from somewhere or ask, you know. But when you saw like a bunch of them, it's like, oh, I have a leftovers for college. I was like, bunch of them, you know. And another thing, yo-yo. You know, I don't know if they make yo-yos anymore. They're kind of old school, yeah. And so, you know, like when you play with them, they come to you. You don't have to pull it. You don't have to do anything. It's like, well, that's amazing. You know, you can hit the floor. It doesn't break. I was like, why it doesn't break? So, and I saw it says made in USA. Because in Kazakhstan, you get China stuff made in China. In China stuff, you know, they break next day. But U.S. stuff is like lasts you longer, you know. Another thing, the socks, white socks. I just remember the smell from Walmart or the Target. Every time I go to Walmart, I'm like, I recognize that smell, especially when you go to the socks section. So those white socks, oh, they good. So I just want to share with you, as a recipient of Shoebox, it's not all about Shoebox. You know, sometimes we get so excited packing them and put the favorite toys, you know, but we forget why we're doing those things. I want to encourage you, we do this for Jesus. It's all about Him. It's not about Shoebox. It's not about Operation Christmas Child. Yeah, a kid can receive their shoebox and is still going to hell. But it's a door opening. It's a gospel opportunity. So get excited when you pack shoebox because you love Jesus. Not because you want to give someone a gift and leave. But just think about how you have relationship with Him. And how can you impact the world. But because not all of us might go to missions. Some of you will, but not all. But this is the way you can be missional. By packing those shoeboxes and pray for them. Because James 5:16 says, the prayer of righteous men is powerful and effective. So pray for those shoeboxes. That God will use it. You know, I interpret 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul says, I sown the seed, Apollos waters, but God gives the growth. So here, you sown the seed by packing those shoeboxes and praying over them. And then when you mail them to overseas, God, the local Christians, they pick them up and they deliver them to the villages, orphanages, and families. And they they're watering, and later God will give the growth. So you might think like, oh, I packed those shoeboxes and I don't know what's happening. I'm telling you, it's working. And God is using that mighty way. A lot of my friends in orphanage became believers through the simple gift because they heard the gospel and they saw the illustration of John 3:16. And they repented and they believed in Christ alone. And so it's working. And so, again, it's not all about the shoebox. It's all about Jesus. Something has to motivate you to do that. Don't do shoebox because you just do for fun. Do it because you do for Jesus. Can you imagine, just think about this, Luke 15, when Jesus says, if one sinner repents, there's a million angels in heaven rejoicing. One kid overseas or one mom and dad will hear the gospel and they will repent. Oh, there's a joy in heaven. That should motivate us. Angels praising Him. And so I started with the verse. I want to end with the verse. Acts 20:35 says this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for who You are. I praise You for Your goodness toward us. I can't imagine that You sent Your Son Jesus that You love so much and You crushed Him for our sake. so that in him we become the righteousness of God. I praise you for the cross, for this beautiful, ugly cross, and I praise you for the empty tomb. Lord, I pray for these people here that they will respond to this glorious gospel. They will, if someone here doesn't know you, they will come to know you. Lord, I pray for Operation Christmas Child. I pray for people when they pack their shoeboxes, that you will be motivation to them, that you will motivate them to do shoeboxes. And so that the whole world can know you. It's an opportunity. And you don't need us to do this. You don't need us. You can accomplish your purposes without us. But what a privilege that you invite us to come and join with you to impact the nations and show your name, how glorious, how amazing it is. Again, we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for who he is. I pray your name.